And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the Miami Dolphins and the NFL playoffs. This guy does a great job with his podcast and doing sports radio there in South Florida. You got to check it out. Locked On Canes. He's my good friend, Alex Dono. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Just getting ready for some NFL playoffs. It's going to be a good super wild card weekend coming up.
Let's start with what happened Sunday night. How disappointing was that for the Dolphins to lose that game to the Bills?
Disappointing, not that surprising. I had a bad feeling heading into that game. You know, the vibes were pretty down after what happened in Miami the previous week when they got their doors blown off 56-19 at the Baltimore Ravens. And it still, this is not the only reason the Dolphins lost, of course, but the team was still not healthy enough, I thought, to really put their best foot forward against the Bills, you know, missing too many key players on both sides of the football, but especially on defense and seeing Xavien Howard get hurt early on in that game and, you know, not having Jalen Waddle in that one and, you know, being in a weakened state on both sides of the football. And the Bills had been trending so positively in recent weeks, despite it being a home game. I had a bad feeling. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't do much for the narrative, Mark, when, you know, people talk about the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa not winning enough big games, not winning enough important games. You had the division on the line on Sunday night. You know, thankfully the Dolphins were in the playoffs no matter what, so that didn't change. But, you know, they come up short in the AFC East when a couple weeks ago it felt like the division was basically a lock. It was, you know, and the Bills had gained ground, the Dolphins had lost ground, but you still could have secured it with a win.
How devastating was it when the Bills returned that punt return for a touchdown?
That was the momentum changer in the football game. And that, if you can, you know, every now and then you see a game where you can point to really one play that flipped the game on its head. And that was the one. Is at first you're thinking, wow, he's fielding that, you know, inside the 5-yard line. This is going to be the Dolphins can make one tackle here and the Bills have terrible field position. Instead, you get your hearts broken and your backs broken by a special teams touchdown. Those are the sorts of mistakes you cannot afford to make. And, you know, obviously the special teams error was tragic. You know, the Dolphins defense overall, they did enough to win that game. It's not like the Bills lit up the scoreboard. Miami's offense was just on a milk carton in the second half. They didn't do anything. They got shut out in the second half. You know, they had some decent moments in the first. I think in the second half they had 4 punts and an interception is what they did on their 5 drives. It's inexcusable. And, you know, I know that NFL players and coaches, they always say the right things because this is what they said after the Ravens game. They said the same thing. You know, we put this behind us. We still have all of our goals in front of us, right? That's what they said before the Buffalo game. After the Buffalo game, we put it behind us. We've got everything in front of us. We're in the playoffs. Hopefully we can see, you know, a different version of the Miami Dolphins. You know, they are going to be getting Jalen Waddle back from injury, getting Raheem Mostert back from injury, which is going to be important for this weekend because obviously they couldn't do enough with the weapons or lack thereof that they had this past week.
Do you feel like these elite teams maybe have figured out this Dolphins offense, especially against Baltimore and Buffalo in the last 2 games of the season?
Yeah, I think when the Dolphins offense goes up against elite teams, the elite teams are the ones who are disruptive enough at the line of scrimmage, have, you know, dynamic enough linebacker play that can disrupt the Dolphins' offensive rhythm. Is Mark, the reason why the Dolphins have, you know, beaten up on so many of the lesser teams in the NFL is if you can't disrupt Tua's pocket enough, and if you allow him, because he's deadly accurate and he's a great rhythm quarterback, but you know he doesn't have the same sort of stuff that Josh Allen has or Lamar Jackson has, where you know he's not as great as improvising and you know kind of making something out of nothing. Like Tua can make something out of something, and he does that better than most any quarterback in the NFL. But if you disrupt his rhythm and timing, you know, he can't hurt you with his legs the way that other guys like that can. You know, he can't make some of the crazy circus throws that Patrick Mahomes can make. So, you know, the problem is that if you take a little bit of that harmony away from Tua's offense, it's harder for him to compensate for that. And I think that I don't even know if it's about figuring it out. I think it's more about physical matchups, Mark. I think that when, again, you've got teams that have defensive lines that can overwhelm Miami's offensive line and make Tua, force him to make off-schedule plays and make him uncomfortable, I think that's when the Dolphins have problems. And so, you know, if Kansas City can do that this weekend in very favorable weather conditions for them, it's going to be really tough.
It's weird where you look at Tua's season. Hey, he started every game. That was our biggest question mark going into the season. Can he stay healthy? He played every game. He led the NFL in passing yards, which is mind-boggling to think about. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row. He's actually going to start the playoff game. First time that's happened for the Dolphins since what? Chad Pennington. Was it a good year for Tua as the quarterback of the Dolphins?
Yeah, I do think it was a good year. Last time the Dolphins had a quarterback leading the NFL in passing was Marino many years ago. Tua, he's had a great season objectively, but I can nitpick some of the imperfections and some of the limitations, and it's not all on him. I think he's deserved more consistency on the offensive line. The Dolphins have had way too many injuries and not enough depth on the O-line this year. You know, he's had weapons who have been in and out of the lineups, with Mostert and Jaylen Waddle having just been out. Tyreek Hill has missed some time this year. Devon Achan has missed some time this year. So it's not as if he's had perfection around him. I just think that he doesn't have really some of the tools, as we talked about, to kind of compensate for some of that stuff. You know, as far as like the long-term future with Tua, I know that they're some Dolphin fans now, it's funny how people are saying this even before the playoff game. Like, well, let's see what happens in the Kansas City game before we get too crazy. But some Dolphin fans are like, okay, now I've seen enough. It's time to move on. You know, you've always got to wonder, are there necessarily better options out there? Because you know Tua can do a lot with what you have. It's not like the Dolphins are going to have, you know, a top 10 or a top 15 draft pick to get one of the top guys in this deep quarterback class coming up. Yeah, I don't know if there's any potential free agent out there who's definitely an upgrade over Tua. I think Tua is a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. So I'm not ready to move on from Tua. You know, I think the Dolphins are going to have to keep trying to build this thing around him, and he's going to get a long-term contract extension, I believe. Is it going to be necessarily, you know, as much as, you know, what some of his contemporaries have been getting, like, you know, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert? I don't know what the dollar figures are going to be. And, you know, they need to try to come up with some kind of a deal for him where he can get paid without, you know, taking away their salary cap flexibility for building the best possible team around him. But I'm not ready to move on from Tua, but we're definitely seeing some of the limitations.
You know what's funny about your comment? And you're absolutely right. Where some fans are like, let's move on. It really shows if Dan Marino played today, there'd be people on social media like, ah, let's move on from Dan Marino. He sucks. This guy can't win in the playoffs.
Yeah, he can't win a Super Bowl. Move on.
Who can we get in the draft? That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think of this matchup? Because remember, they played earlier in the year in Germany, lost by 7 on a, what was it, a fumble recovery touchdown? What do you think of the rematch then?
Yeah, that first matchup was really weird because, you know, Kansas City, I think it was they outscored Miami 21-0 in the first half. Dolphins outscored Kansas City 14-0 in the second half. It was just a really strange game. You know, the weather conditions were I think, you know, somewhat normal for a fall day in Germany and Frankfurt in that game. One of the reasons why it's so hard for me to even entertain picking the Dolphins in this game is it's going to be 10 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah.
The wind chill is going to have it below zero at Arrowhead. 10 degrees at kickoff, but I think by the time the game ends, it's going to be in single digits, like low single digit weather. The Dolphins just, they don't win big games in that sort of condition. So if that Tua doesn't, you know, win games in those sort of weather conditions. So if the Dolphins are going to pull off an upset, and thankfully Kansas City's been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like they haven't had the regular season consistency that they've had for the past three or four seasons. I think a lot of people just kind of assume that Patrick Mahomes with his two Super Bowls and, you know, he goes into a different gear in the playoffs. Is he just going to really, and he probably can he kind of turn it into another gear in the playoffs? That's been the trend for him in recent years, even though the Chiefs have not been as consistent and his wide receivers and his offensive line have not been consistent enough throughout the year. I mean, a guy like Kadarius Toney has made some disastrous plays for them this season, and Travis Kelce, I don't know if it's the Taylor Swift thing, but he's not been the factor that he's been in recent years. But still, I think Kansas City, that home field advantage, given the pedigree that they have winning two Super Bowls in recent years, it's just going to be really tough to go up there and win. So I'm concerned about the matchup. I'm definitely concerned about the health of the Dolphins' defense. They've not been the same team since they've lost their two top pass rushers. Jalen Phillips has been out for a while with the Achilles. Bradley Chubb, 2 games ago, suffered a season-ending knee injury of his own. It's going to be tough. I mean, crazier things have happened, but it's hard for me to back the Dolphins in this game Saturday night.
We're here with Alex Dono talking Dolphins-Chiefs games coming up Saturday night. Okay, running the football, you bring up Mozart, you have A-Chain. What do those two guys need to do? Is it 200 yards combined? What does the running game need to do in this?
Yeah, it might be something close to that. Somewhere 150 to 200-plus team yards might be what it takes in this game. And honestly, I hope Mike McDaniel is listening to this because, you know, one of the criticisms that people have had on Mike McDaniel, because the Dolphins' running game has been very productive.
Yeah.
Does he abandon the run too quickly? And it's not as if he's doing this in games where Miami's down 2-3 scores and you need to have a pass-heavy approach. Like, he's gone away from the running game too quickly in games where you're tied, in games where the Dolphins are leading by a score, and it's like, wait, why have you abandoned the run when Achane and Mostert and Jeff Wilson, who had a pretty nice game this past week, why are you abandoning the run as much as you are? They certainly, in the second half against Buffalo, there was virtually no running game whatsoever. The Bills did adapt to that defensively. They were stacking the box a little bit more, but still, I think the Dolphins are going to have to find and sustain success with the running game. Mostert coming back is going to be huge. He's been a touchdown machine for the Dolphins this year. Achane has been super productive. Jeff Wilson has really been catching on and doing more these past couple of weeks. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I think being able to run the football is a really important key. Now, it's complementary because if the Dolphins can't hit a couple deep passing plays, you know, the Chiefs are going to adjust accordingly and stack the box. So I'm not too worried about Tyreek Hill this week. He's been playing through some pain, but, you know, I know how he ticks, and he's going to be so extra motivated. And he had a tough outing against Kansas City earlier this year with that fumble. So he's going to be extremely motivated back in Kansas City for the first time since he left the Chiefs. I am expecting Tyreek to have a good game. Jalen Waddle's going to be really important. They're going to have to stretch the field to open things up for the running game.
Do you think there's a gigantic bullseye on Hill coming back to Arrowhead, though?
From the fans, I mean, as far as the players, they probably kind of got it out of their system because they did play against him earlier this year. So, you know, he's gone up against his former teammates already, but the crowd's going to be crazy, so I don't know. I don't know what it's going to, because they seem like pretty classy fans in Kansas City, so it's like, are they going to go really over the top booing him because they also respect what he did when he played there, or I don't really know how he's going to be received. I'm sure it's going to be loud, and I know it's going to be a crazy capacity crowd. They do a great job there at Arrowhead, so To me, it's going to be more about how he's received from the fans because he's already gone up against his teammates, so you've gotten that out of the way. But being back in Kansas City, the crowd's going to be a factor for sure for him.
Okay, here's my X factor, and I want your take. We're here with Alex Dono talking Dolphins Chiefs coming up Saturday night. I think the offensive line is the key to this whole thing. They've got to give Tua time to throw the ball. If Tua starts getting hit and it's 5 degrees outside and he gets rattled, this game is over. It'll be over early. Like, I agree with you. Kansas City's up and down, but they know how to win in the playoffs. They know what to do. Yep. The Dolphins don't. Tua's got to get a clean pocket. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's been tough with the amount of guys who have been out. I mean, Robert Hunt being back on the offensive line is big. And, you know, having Teron Armstead in recent weeks, he's got all that experience through the roof, a former All-Pro guy. Liam Eikenberg at times has been good, other times a little bit shaky at center. But the offensive line, everything you talk about with Tua's pocket is true. And if the Dolphins can't run the football, then Kansas City can just pin their ears back and make his life miserable. That's another reason why you've got to get the running game going. Otherwise, Tua is going to be under duress all game long. So you're right. If he gets hit a couple of times early and drives get derailed by sacks and big quarterback hits, the game could feel like it's over pretty quickly if the Dolphins can't set the tone on offense.
All right. If you're Mike McDaniel, would you fly out right now and then just be in the cold for a couple of days? What would your game plan be?
Yeah, you know, I think if anything, I kind of learned, and I go back to that Germany game where the Dolphins flew out there super early. Kansas City flew out there like 48 hours before the game, and they performed better than the Dolphins did after going out there early. Even though it's cold outside, I would still go through your normal weekly routine, because I think that to me is more important. Like if you were to relocate your team early in the week, you're sleeping in different beds, you're practicing in fields that you're not familiar with, then it can maybe throw off your preparation a little bit. So there's definitely a debate there. Do you want to get ready for the temperatures earlier in the week? I think routine is important, and I think the Dolphins going through a normal week as possible, maybe crank down the air conditioning as cold as you can inside that space-age indoor facility that they have. But to me, I think the routine is probably just as important, if not more important, than adapting to the conditions. Because if you go through as regular as possible of a week, I think you're going to be in the right headspace on game night.
All right. This is what I'll tell you, Alex Dano. So in December, I went to London. I took a flight there. It was a lot of fun. You and your family need to do it sometime, okay? I left it at the Orlando airport. It was 80 degrees outside. I got to London. It was low 40s with gusting wind and rain, and it was just shocking. That was only a 40-degree difference. 40. This will be, what do we got, 70s? And we're going to go to 5 degrees. This ain't going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's not. You're there in South Florida, so the game will be on TV. But what is your take how the Dolphins game will not be on regular TV for the rest of the country?
I think it's annoying. I think especially for the older demographic, because it's like this is just the way it's going. I think in 10 years, most of what we consume, even live TV, is going to be on streaming only platforms. I mean, we already have, you know, the Thursday night games on Amazon Prime. All this stuff would have sounded crazy 5 years ago, and this is just the world that we're living in. Yeah, I think people, and like you said, South Florida, it's going to be on TV on our local NBC affiliate. Same thing with Kansas City. It's going to be on TV, but for every other market, you've got to watch it streaming on Peacock, which is kind of annoying. But I will say to anyone out of market, which of course most of your listeners are, at least they offer a free trial. And I'm not doing a commercial for them. They don't pay me anything. I'm just letting you know that if you want to watch that exclusive super wild card weekend game, you can get a free trial of Peacock and then ditch it if you want to right after the game is over. But I think this is just the direction everything is going in. And I think, you know, obviously the older demographic is going to have a harder time adjusting to all this. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if within, you know, network TV deals, I know, are still a thing. But I think we're slowly seeing this evolution where you're going to have more and more games that are exclusively on streaming services. And then at some point in a decade or a decade and a half, that's where everything's going to be.
All right, before I let you go, I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you coming on. Let's do your picks real quick here with Alex Dano. And check out Locked On Canes. He does a great job. And his coverage for the Dolphins there in South Florida. Okay, Browns at Texans. Who you got?
I got the Browns. I prefer to see the Texans win because I've really enjoyed watching them and C.J. Stroud. But I respect what Joe Flacco has helped them do in Cleveland. I think that's a really good, really deep team. The Texans are an up-and-coming team, but I think the Browns probably get it done.
Okay, Dolphins, Chiefs, Saturday night. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I hate to say it, but Kansas City.
Okay, Steelers and Bills.
I'm going Bills. They found their form in the second half of the season. Josh Allen in the play. I know they haven't gotten over the hump and gotten all the way to the Super Bowl, but they're going to win this game.
Okay, Packers, Cowboys.
Oh man, I see. I'm picking because I think it's a pretty big spread. So I think the Cowboys probably squeak it out, but I think the Packers are going to cover. When I looked at it on Sunday or Monday morning, it was like Packers plus 7.5. I think the Packers can keep it close, but I don't know. The Cowboys to me, it's that Cowboy thing. They're going to be overrated every single year. They won the division, good for them, but they'll probably squeak through this game.
Rams Lions Sunday night.
I'm going with the Lions, although I feel like just based on the history of that franchise, if something terrible happens and like they get humiliated, I don't think anybody would be too surprised because that's just the Lions. But I don't know. I feel like these Lions are different. I'm going to go with the Lions.
Okay, Monday night, the game I would not touch gambling-wise. Eagles, Buccaneers, who you got?
Man, I'd love to see the Buccaneers pull it off. I don't know what the heck the Eagles were doing this past week against the Giants. That was embarrassing. But the Eagles to me are the better team. I think, and they're on the road, which is you never would have thought that a few weeks ago they would open at Tampa Bay. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Eagles.
His name's Alex Dono, my man. Thank you so much for coming on. Enjoy the games this weekend. I'll talk to you later. All right.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark.